Today we're going to talk about the second value of Grace City Church. The first value is that's generosity, and Pastor Stewart has preached on generosity last week. And then we have got the next word, which is the word relationship. So this today we're going to talk about why do we want to relate. And of course, then you've got ACE. So GR, I'm taking the R bit, huh? The relationship bit. Why relate? Last week, you talked about why we need to be generous. This week, we're going to take the passage from 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 13 to 17, to talk about why we want to relate. And if you turn to that passage, it reads like this. It says, during harvest time, three of the 30 chief warriors came down to David at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in a stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. So the three mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. Far be it from me, Lord, to do this, he said. Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives? And David would not drink it. Let's ask the Lord for his blessings. Father, we thank you so much for this piece of truth that you have put in 2 Samuel for us today as to why we need to relate. Why we need to relate, first of all, to you. Why we need to relate to one another in the church. Relate to one another at home. Relate to one another in the community, in the nation, in the world. Lord, we want to know the reason why. And today, even as we open your scriptures, you have revealed yourself to us. And we pray that, God, you will make your presence manifest in your truth today as your word is being preached. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Picture this, right? The three mighty men of David heard David longing for the water from Bethlehem. Bethlehem was his hometown. And he was longing for water because he was now in the cave of Adullam for a refuge. He was retreating to the cave of Adullam because the Philistines were chasing after him. And so he was in the cave of Adullam. The men of Israel said, King, you are, threatened in your life. Go to the cave of Adullam, stay there, and wait till the time is right for you to come out again. So these three mighty men of David went to the cave of Adullam at this time and heard what the king was longing for. The king was longing for a cup of water from the well of Bethlehem. And guess what? They went through all the danger of the Philistine garrison. They went through all the dangers of the Philistine lines, and they got the water. So on the way back from Bethlehem to the cave of Adullam, these three mighty men must be thinking, wow, it's so good. We went through all this danger and we got the water. It's amazing. Our king will be so proud of us and he'll be having that drink, and then he will no longer be homesick, and then he'll be so encouraged in his spirit. Wow, that will be so good. Imagine all the great scenarios. And then, of course, when they reached the king at the cave of Adullam, the king could not drink the water. Instead, he poured the water onto the ground as a sacrifice to the Lord. I think they will have to manage the expectation there and then, isn't it? When you expect something so great, appreciation and gratitude and deep love, you actually get the king doing exactly the opposite. King David couldn't drink a drop of it, not because he didn't appreciate the water, but because it was exchanged with blood and risk. And so he had to pour it out as a drink offering before the Lord. When you're reading this passage, I don't know what your reactions are. You would have a lot of responses, but one of my very ungodly responses was this. It's like, what a waste. I know it was dedicated to the Lord. I know it was sacrificed before the Lord, but I kind of like whisper these three words out loud, like, what a waste. But it is in this act of David pouring out the water on the ground as an offering to God that I got the answer to what we were asking today. Why do we relate? Why do we relate? And I got the answer from King David pouring out the water on the ground. See, relating, if you haven't discovered, is actually a very complex and a super complicated process. I don't know whether you realize that building relationship is a really complex thing. See, these three mighty men went to the cave of Adullam, heard what the king had said, thought the king was asking for water. They went for the water, but that was not what the king wanted. They missed the point. Isn't relating so hard? Like you thought you got the message, but you actually didn't get the message. You thought the message is so clear, but you didn't get the point. And maybe we are those sort of people that invest a lot of time, a lot of effort into relationships. And you would give an arm, you would give a leg just to make the other person happy or to make the relationship more vitalized, more harmonious. And of course, if the outcome turns out to be good, it is all good. But what if you put all your efforts in your office, at home, in church, you put all your efforts in relating in and the outcome came back to you a little bit pear-shaped? What do? Do you continue to build the relationship? Do you continue to relate? Some people would actually stop relating because it's like, you know, you put in so much, if you got nothing, they might as well build a wall around them so that no one can come near them and no one can hurt them. Then why do we then, as a church, raise this question, why relate? Why does Grey City Church wants to make relationship a priority, to make it a value? To make it a value means when people come into the church, they can straight away see that Grey City Church is a relational church because that's your value. That's what you value. That's what we esteem. That's what we want. That's what we want our culture to be. So why then do Grey City Church want to ask such a question? And let us answer this question. Why relate? I believe that when David poured out the water on the ground, that was the answer to that question. It is so important when David poured out the water, so it's like no matter how relationship turn out, no matter how the outcome is for the three mighty men, we can still relate, we can still be healthy and loving in the way we get along with people. The act of David pouring out of the water out onto the ground, tell me one thing, we can relate when you see relating as an act of worship. You can relate even with difficult people, even with people you're not comfortable with, even with people who exploit you, take advantage of you. You can relate with them when you see relating as an act of worship. When we start building relationship as an act of worship, as an act towards God, that we do everything unto God, I tell you what, your relating will take a turn. You will be so changed in the way you relate with people. Because your relating with people does not depend on the outcome. It does not even depend on how people respond to us. You relate because you know that your strength and your reward comes from the Lord. If He has given you the opportunity to relate with so and so, then God has that reward just for you because you put Him first and you relate with the other person as an act of worship towards the Lord. I tell you what, you will change your life. There are some people that I don't think I want to mix around very much. But because God wants me to, and when I do that, I do it as an act of worship, I begin to see my own life change. And I begin to see the life of the other person change. The three mighty men did not behave negatively after the incident when the king didn't take their water, instead poured it on the ground. The three mighty men did not behave any differently. In fact, they were even more loyal, even more fervent in the way they pledged themselves to the king, because now they know that their king was not someone who would take advantage of them. The king is not someone who will exploit them and make them risk their lives for his personal benefit. There are some things God may want us to do for our friends, for our spouses, for our family members, for the church. Sometimes these acts of relating may even be beyond your ability to give, maybe even beyond your duty. But if you render it as an act of worship, if you give it to the Lord, give it to the person, the love and the affection that God wants you to give as unto the Lord, your life will be changed. And if you believe that God is the great rewarder, that he will reward you in due time, if you faint not, you begin to enjoy this whole journey of relating with people. Amen. Amen. There are two things we can give as an act of worship in terms of relationship building. The first thing that was shown by these three mighty men was this thing called empathy. Empathy. I talked about this in the slide. Expressing empathy. So it's not just feeling inside, it's expressing the empathy. I would say worship the Lord with your empathy. And you say, but I'm not sure whether I've got empathy. This is a really cute picture, isn't it? I know how you feel. It's exactly like, you know, arrow at the back, you know. It's not just that I feel sorry for you. You are in pain. It's like I'm feeling the pain and we are both in pain. And I know exactly how you feel because the arrows has shot through both of them at the same time. Empathy. And you may say, but I'm not sure whether I've got the empathy. I would say if you're a believer of God, you've got empathy in you, simply because Jesus dwells in you. If you read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Jesus himself is empathetic, and he dwells in you. He's empathetic when he steps into our shoes. He knows that we can't do life on our own. We are so vulnerable to so many attacks. I know just the recent coronavirus, you know, we are so vulnerable. But Jesus steps into our shoes. He feels our sin. He feels our worry. He feels our helplessness. And then he took on the most dangerous and most excruciating task of going to the cross, die on the cross, so that we can approach God's throne and receive his mercy and his grace when we need them. This is how God, the Lord Jesus Christ, took on the danger of the mission to go on the cross so that we can be free from danger. This is the empathy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because we are made in the image of Christ, this empathy dwells in us. It's in us. It's in us. We just have to let the Holy Spirit lead us into revealing it much more. Right? Revealing it much more. You see, empathy is feeling with people. It's not feeling sorry for people. That is sympathy. Empathy is a deeper level. Jesus feels with us. He feels with people. It is listening for the feeling and the emotions behind the words. Carl Rogers, who is a very influential counselor, Christian counselor, says, empathy is listening with understanding to see the idea and attitude from the other person's point of view to sense how it feels to them. If this is too hard, just remember what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Empathy is actually really to be happy with those who are happy and to weep with those who weep. It's harder than you think, but it is worth the try because empathy is exactly the nature of God. So when we have empathy, you actually feel the nature of God. You actually feel the nature of God really innately in you and supernaturally in you. The three mighty men, when they went to the cave of Adullam and was with King David, they connected with something in themselves that know that feeling that King David was having. King David said, I am missing the water in hometown Bethlehem. That struck a chord in them because they were also missing home. At this time, the Philistines were so strong, they drove the mighty men and some of the people, the army, and King David to the cave of Adullam. They knew exactly how that sense of homesickness is. Because everyone in Israel, because this is a harvest time, if the Philistines were not captivating that place, this will be the time of celebration, isn't it? It's like harvest time, so they'll be celebrating. And King David was feeling very discouraged because he wasn't there with his people to celebrate that occasion. He was discouraged. And what happens in the cave of Adullam when these three mighty men came together with the king was they sense his discouragement. You can almost see that they were in that. You know, sometimes when people are talking, you know that they are in a very intense sort of discussion by the way they lean forward. I can picture in the cave of Adullam when King David was sharing how homesick he was, how he wished that he could have a drop of that water. The four of them would be like, you know, putting their heads together, bending forward, encouraging one another because they felt each other's discouragement. They must have felt so connected. And it is in that connection that you are able to fill each other's emotional need. It's like, you know, what happened recently with what is happening to Singapore. You know, when we were celebrating Chinese New Year over here as well as in Singapore, they were having the coronavirus at its attack. And it's like over here, we are feeling all the feelings of empathy, isn't it? We're praying for them and we're missing home because, you know, you wish that you could be there to share the situation with them, but you are not there. It's a really mixed feeling, a feeling of empathy, a feeling of wanting to be there with them. The three mighty men exactly felt that when they were with King David. They felt his homesickness. And they say, and I imagine them saying, you know, King David, we are with you. We are with you. See, empathy is experiencing the same flow of emotions that the other person is experiencing. It is entering into the private world of another person to feel so at home with that feeling in the same flow. When we are in the same flow, we are then able to connect. That's why we always hear people, you know, when they get really thrilled with someone they have met, they say, we connected. I'm doing some premarital couples, and it's like, when they connect, you can see it. Yesterday, I was just FaceTiming someone, when they connect, you can see it. They connect, they clap hands, they put their hands together. It's like, whoa, you know, they connect. That same feeling of connectedness. When you're able to connect, you bring about a trust. You bring about an agreeableness. And the more you agree, the more you mirror each other, the more trust you have. When we are able to give our empathy as an act of worship to God, and say, oh God, this is not me, I can't do this. Yes, we can. We can give our empathy as an act of worship, because the Christian community, Christians need to be the agents of empathy. We need to be able to hear each other's heart. We need to be able to enter into each other's private worlds, be with somebody in their happiness, be with somebody in their weakness, be with somebody in their sadness. Because when you are able to do that, you connect. When you connect, you find the trust increasing in the community. There was this man who was complaining about his partner. He says, you know, she's just complaining for the sake of complaining. Guys, you know, sometimes we talk about our partner, our wife, our spouse, our girlfriend is that, you know, she's complaining for the sake of complaining. So I asked this guy, I said, okay, just this as an exercise, would you be able to change that into a little bit more empathetic? He thought for a while and he said, you know, looking at all the situations that she was going through, he said, it must be hard. Wow, that's empathy. That's empathy. He said, it must be hard. And instantly, his partner felt being understood because he got an idea of how she felt. It is hard to empathize. It is really hard to empathize. But empathy is so necessary to have in our fellowship. And sometimes when you have empathy, you may be required to extend beyond yourself. The three mighty men, when they empathized with David's situation, they took it upon themselves to break through the Philistine lines. They risked their lives. Sometimes when you are empathetic, sometimes God drops something like that into your heart and you got to go through danger, sometimes go through discomfort. It's risky work. And it's easier not to empathize, but God does not want us not to empathize. God does not want us to isolate ourselves, because isolation is not God's idea. God doesn't want us to isolate. In fact, if we talk about a Christian being an isolated person, it is actually a contradiction in terms. You cannot understand it, because Christians are not made to be isolated, because it weakens us. It depletes our energy, because power comes when we are together with God's people and we grasp how wide, how long, how deep, how broad is the love of Christ. Recently, Grace Assembly Singapore, and Henry and myself, we always call it our mother church. That's where we come from. The coronavirus has affected them, and the church is now totally empty. They couldn't go in there for 2 weeks to worship the Lord. Everybody is in their own houses to be quarantined. The senior pastor is also affected by the virus. But I tell you what, that is a church not in isolation. Oh yes, the church is isolated at this moment. If you go there to the church, you cannot find anybody there. But at 9 o'clock this morning, the church is praying. Everywhere in the community where the church members are, they are all praying for the pastor. They are all praying for the church. They are all praying for Singapore. The church is not isolated. Amen. The church building may be, but the church is not isolated. Because when we are isolated, then we deplete our energy, and God is not wanting us to be weakened in any way, even in a time of crisis. I pray that in the year 2020, you will reach a new level of empathizing. You will reach a new level of relating one with the other. And I pray that even your postures will change. I just got this and it's quite exciting. The acronyms of empathy. You know, I'm a literature teacher, student, and I love words, you know by now. So this is very interesting. The word empathy, When you have empathy, it will change your whole body posture. I pray that this year, we are talking about the Lord doing a new thing. The three mighty men showed us a way of relating with their king. And it is so good that we expand it a little bit to understand what empathy encompasses. Empathy, E, your eye contact. M, the muscles in your facial expression. P, your posture. A, your affect, your emotions. And T, your tone. I can picture that when the three mighty men came together, as I said, heads locking and posture bending towards their king, and they are all trying to listen in, eye on their king, understanding what the king is going through. I believe that that is a point of engagement. We need to engage more. We need to engage more. It's a new way of relating. And physical companionship is a way where we can express that empathy. God has caused us to come here every week, whether it's on a Sunday or a Friday for Powerhouse. We are able to have the opportunity to be able to use our body to engage with one another so that we can render ourselves, our relationship, as an act of worship. God is pleased when we worship Him. And relationship, relating, is an act of worship. And H is for hearing. Hearing communicates understanding. When we are able to hear one another, happy stories or sad stories or whatever stories, you don't have to solve problems. You know, one of the things I discovered as a psychologist is that I don't have to solve problems. I'm not there to solve problems. If I am there to solve problems, then I'll be having to have a whole inventory of problem-solving things, right? I'm just there to listen and help them solve their problems. I'm not the one who give them solutions. So when we are hearing, we don't have to hear to solve problems. We hear to communicate understanding. I believe the cave of Adullam was so safe at that time that King David can even tell the three mighty men his innermost wish. How I wish I could drink the water I drank as a boy. He was so safe in that environment because he knew that his three mighty men were hearing him out. And why is your response, your acknowledgement? When you are empathetic, you need to give some form of acknowledgement that you are able to understand. It's an act of worship. Being able to acknowledge is an act of worship when you are relating. In a sense, the three mighty men, in a sense, you know, because we are, I'm a communicator. So when I look at this story, in a sense, it's like if only the three mighty men could communicate a little bit better. Maybe they want to tell the king what they intend to do. Being men and being in the military, maybe they thought it's not necessary. They understood it and then they don't express it. Men, may I encourage you? Sometimes I know the ideas are there, but your spouse may not get your ideas. And it's good not to just figure everything out and just go and do it. It is good to sometimes tell your spouse what is going on in your mind so that your spouse can also give you some feedback, can also help you with a better decision. But in this case, the three mighty men got the idea that they want to go get the water. They think the king wants the water. And so they just went off on their own without telling the king. And I mean, they could run into risk. They could run into danger. But thank God they didn't. They obviously know that they have got the ability to go get the water. But I think it is so good for us to be able to communicate to one another what's going on here so that we are further able to strengthen the idea and be able to understand each other even better. So Church, this is our new season. We have been relating, of course. That's why we are together. We are gathering together, and we have been able to have a lot of opportunities to fellowship and to relate one with another. But I pray that this year, with the example of the three mighty men, where they are able to empathize with their king and able to be courageous to go get the water for the king, be able to understand what the king really needs, as we begin to relate one with another, as we begin to put aside our personality and say, oh, that's not me to be empathetic. Let's put that aside. Let's render it as an act of worship to God and say, okay, God, I don't look at people in the eye because I don't believe that. Well, maybe this year is for us to say, okay, that's your style, but it's not engaging with people. Maybe God, help me to engage with my eyes. Maybe you're someone who don't engage with your posture or with the way you acknowledge someone. Maybe this year is the year that you say, oh, God, help me to acknowledge that's my weakness. I'm not trained. I'm not taught to do that with my body posture, but yeah, I want to be empathetic. Lord, I want to give my empathy to you as an act of worship. I want to learn from these three mighty men how they can lean in to listen to the cries of their king and do something for their king. I want to lean in to my brother and my sister to listen to what they are saying so that I can be a part of their world. It doesn't belong to counselors. It doesn't belong to psychiatrists or anybody in the counseling profession. It belongs to Christians. As long as we are believers, we are blessed with the ability to empathize because Jesus dwells in us. Sometimes because of all our teaching or our background or our setbacks, we develop bad habits in not being able to relate well with other people. Then let us set that aside. Let's ask God, God, help me to set those things aside because those are not working. They're not engaging with people. They're not meeting my needs. They're not meeting the needs of other people. Let me just put them all aside and let me dedicate myself once again, dear Lord, to be the one that can be empathetic so that, Lord, when you give me a person to relate with, when you give me a group to relate with, I can show forth the empathy of Jesus in me. And the world that you are in lights up. Amen. We have our breakthroughs. Amen. I'm now learning a new therapy. Very excited. And this therapy requires reparenting. There are some people in our world that don't have the sort of a background where the mother or the father is a good parent. And this new therapy I'm learning is to know how in a session I can reparent. In other words, I can be the person that may be able to meet the need that this person was not being met in the childhood or in the adolescence, that I be that channel of empathy. Wow, it's not just my role, it's us. If all of us play this role, then we'll be able to bring hope to our world. The world that needs to be fathered or mothered has hope because the church is able to go through this process of being empathetic so that we are able to show the Father who is in heaven. When you connect with people, when you reparent with people, they can then see, oh, they got a heavenly Father that they can relate with and be reconciled with. Church, let's rise up. Let's rise up in a new way of relating. Amen. Give your empathy as an act of worship to the Lord. The second thing that you can give as an act of worship to the Lord is worship the Lord with your energy. Worship the Lord with your energy. The combined energy of the three mighty men is an act of worship to God. See, you are better together when you relate with one another. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. When you are together, you build a solidarity. You build a strength together. When I was preparing this sermon, I had the radio 98.5, you know, in the background, and I heard this. It says, you know, when you build a solidarity, you are actually building people power. This is coming from 98.5. You are building people power. And then 98.5 further says, you unite as a collective force. You unite as a collective force. We being together is not a coincidence. We coming every Sunday is not a coincidence. And we can unite as a collective force, as an act of worship towards the Lord. One person cannot do everything. But when we all come together and everyone knows your role, and everyone just go ahead and do what you are called to do, the church becomes alive. We are a people power. We are a collective force, and we can do that more and more as we give our energy as an act of worship towards God. The three mighty men, the names are Josheph, Bashibeth. He was the man who could kill, in ancient time, the war against 800 men. He was able to raise his spear against them and kill them in one encounter. That's how strong he is. Wow. Eliezer, the Israelites were trying to provoke the Philistines they were taunting the Philistines. And then finally, when the Philistines got aroused and they came to fight with the people of Israel, the people of Israel fled. Eliezer was the one who stood the ground and struck down the Philistines. And he fought so much until the sword stuck to his hands, you know, like, wow, wow. Yeah, that's how strong Eliezer is. Very strong. Shammah, same thing. He was fighting against the Philistines. The Philistines came to the lentil field, and Shammah was the one who stood in the middle of the lentil field to guard it, and was able to ward off the Philistines. See, three of them have got mighty strength. Each of us, all of us seated here, every one of us, if I could look at you eye to eye, every one of us, we've got giftings. Every one of us, we've got signature strengths. Some of you are very strong in many, many, many skills and many, many areas. But when three come together, my goodness, is exponential. And the three mighty men, when they came together for this act of going to collect the water, they relate together for courage. They relate to each other for courage. When you give your energy to the Lord as an act of worship, you experience courage. That's why Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, though one may be overpowered, two, or better still, three, can defend themselves. See, courage comes when we come together with all our rich and all our diverse backgrounds. We all have very, very rich and different backgrounds. When we come together, we can defend an idea. We can defend a project or a person from being sabotaged. We can come together. If something is not working, when we come together, something can work and not be sabotaged by discouragement or by disappointment. You see, courage is greatly boosted when all the like-minded people come together, agree on their aims, and carry out our plans together. I don't have a lot of power to gather people, but I happen to have lunch with one lady in the city. She's a city leader, and she has got the ability to gather people. And I was just having lunch with her, and I was just sitting down talking with her. She said, you know, there is this organization called Naomi House. Naomi House is a charity organization that helps older women, middle-aged women, get grounded or get their footing by providing them support when they are either homeless or when they are being abused. So Naomi House is that particular project in the city. So this lady was just telling me about what she wants to do. She said, you know, I would really love to have a morning tea for 100 women, and we can call these women together, and then we can raise funds. We're going to collect $10,000 for Naomi House. She was just talking about it. You see, I'm not strong in getting people. I'm okay in looking at programs and maybe be a part of the programs. The two of us got together, we begin to get excited. You know, how many of us know that when we go and relate with people, it's not just go and socialize and network and have a party, yeah? Sometimes God used those moments when you render it as an act of worship. God used those moments to bless the community or to bless yourself. And we talked about it, and here we are. 21st of March is going to be our morning tea for, you know, the fundraiser project to raise $10,000 for Naomi House. Guess what? We've got all this, but we don't have a venue. And so we asked Pastor Stewart. And Pastor Stewart said, yes, we can use the church to do this project. You see, courage comes bit by bit. But when we render it as an act of worship, God will begin to add courage to all of us. I pray that we will welcome people into our lives, warring companions, to spur us on, to remind us of who we are in God. You see, the three mighty men started off coming just to the cave of Adullam, having a good time with the king. But they realized that when they are able to put their heads together to go fetch the water, it will please the king, and it actually becomes a unifying force among the three of them. It will be able to make the job a lot lighter if three of them come together rather than just one. See, your energy is an act of worship towards God. You know, sometimes we may think, is our energy really worth so much? God, what do you really want me to achieve? What's my purpose? I don't know about you. Sometimes we do come to that stage like, God, am I doing what you want me to do? Like, am I maximizing my potential? Am I entering into my purpose? Sometimes we go through a lot of all this, and it may actually deplete our energy. I did. There was one time when I was just asking the Lord, I said, Lord, is this what you really want me to do? God, is my energy what you desire? Lord, have I really rendered my energy as an act of worship to you? Have you asked these questions? And if you do ask these questions, I pray that God will answer your questions. God did for me. I was in Mount Kinabalu, and I was asking the same questions. God, what about my energy? Is my energy serving you? Are people blessed? Is it a good act of worship to you, dear Lord? And you know, you were asking all these questions. And God, in that Mount Kinabalu conference, God spoke to me through a note given to me by the intercessors. The intercessors were at that time praying the whole time when the conference is on. And they directed that note to me, specially for me. And it was from the verse in Isaiah chapter 49. And if you're asking the same questions, I hope that this verse would also bless your heart. It says, your walls are ever before me. Our walls, our territory, what we are supposed to do, all these are ever before God. Your energy is before God. God knows all these things. All we need to do is to leave God to define those walls, leave God to define those purposes for you. We just have to obey. Just obey as an act of worship. I pray this new year, 2020, God begin to speak to your heart, and God begin to use your energy in a fresh new way. Whatever the outcome may be, you need to leave it to God. Sometimes God asks you to do something and then the outcome is not there. Like, God, you know, some people are having great success, but God, you know, I'm just waiting here. This task is just waiting here. Leave it to God. The outcome is God to order. But you have fulfilled your role in obeying God. See, the three mighty men didn't fulfill their aim. What was their aim? The aim was to get water for their king. Did they fulfill their aim? Well, they got the water, but the king refused to drink the water. They didn't fulfill their aim, isn't it? They want to quench the homesickness of their king. They want to give the king the water, but, you know, David did not drink the water. But I tell you what, the act of the three mighty men, even though they didn't fulfill the original aim, the act of the mighty men did much more for David than the water. Because their mighty act of getting the water, when it's an act of worship before God, it restored the confidence of the king. King David was really dispirited and very discouraged by the state of his people, because the cave of Adullam was a refuge, a sealed off place, an isolated place. But the affection and the comfort and the energy of the three mighty men filled him up with fresh faith. Filled him up with fresh faith. David's heart was encouraged. His heart was given a fresh start. See, when you are touched by fresh faith, you are strengthened by the glorious riches of Christ and God's Spirit in your inner being. And sometimes the energy that you give as an act of worship, you don't realize this. It may be bringing encouragement to the deepest part of somebody that is either in the church or in your family. If it's an act of worship. Because the sighting of the water and the courage of the mighty men inspire faith in David to believe the calling of the Lord over his life. That itself is enough. Church, I pray that we will put our energy where God wants us to. It can be a significant job. It can be an insignificant job. It can be a noticed task. It may not be a noticed task. It may be an easy challenge. It may be a hard challenge. It may be wasted, like the water being poured out in terms of human efforts, not as a sacrifice to God, but being poured out. It may be wasted. It may not be wasted, but God knows how to reward us. And I just pray that we'll put out our energy. Whatever God calls us to do this year, hear the voice of God. Whatever God calls you to do, put your energy towards that role as an act of worship. Don't think of the outcome, because when you think of the outcome, you get nervous, you get stressed out, you can get disappointed. Don't think of the outcome. Know that God, the great rewarder, is the one who will diligently reward you. Just put out your energy as an act of worship. I believe that relating is life-changing. And when we take it as an act of worship, God wants to make our life better as a person, as a Christian, as a group, as a community. God wants to give us good things. God wants to show us good things. And it is in the relationship that you begin to see the length, the breadth, the width, the depth of God's love. We sing about God's love. God wants to manifest himself. And God wants to manifest himself through his people, relating to one another with all the empathy that God has gifted you and with all the energy that God has given to you. God wants to reveal himself in our midst. And when our world sees that we relate with one another in love, they will know that the Father is in heaven. Hallelujah. Wow. Amen. And amen. And amen. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, help us to be so sensitive to one another. There are some people who may be discouraged in the cave of Adullam, hiding from whatever things there may be. I pray that as a church, the Lord will be sensitive to each other's caves, that we will go into each other's caves to empathize and to give energy to one another. Oh Lord, change our perspectives. Help us, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.